And a very pleasant good afternoon, good evening to you. We are welcome you aboard a Wednesday, and we're already halfway through the week. We hit that about noontime, and as I was just getting ready to come on, I had a program up, and I needed it, and it crashed. But it's working now. There we go. All right, so the first part of that won't be on my cool edit, but there it is. I'm sure that they have it on the other end, so that's good. But anyhow, we've got, oh boy, we have traffic to talk about. And we've got rain mostly in the Asheville-Hendersonville area, and we've got the governor's briefing and things. So hang on, we're going to take care of some good stuff here and say thank you to some folks today. And we want to say to the AM 720 sponsor, thank you. And it is sponsored today by Lamar and Chastity Whittemore in honor of the 7th anniversary of KPGT radio station in Watertown, South Dakota. You know, it just amazes me how many times I hear these numbers of how long things have been up, and it just seems like it started. So what a blessing that is. They are so thankful for the radio ministry, and we're so thankful that while you have that ministry there in radio, you're helping to sponsor AM 720 radio right here in Pisgah Forest as we broadcast literally around the world. And so thank you so much for that. We'll see here today. Birthdays. Esperanza Kim has a birthday today. And Janice Bryson has a birthday today. And a very special happy birthday wishes to Miss Christie's granddaughters, the twins Harper and McKinley Warren. Turned six today. Another one of those numbers you just say, no, it can't be. But congratulations. Happy, happy birthday. Pray all of you all have had a great day today. Don't see any anniversaries on the books. Looking at the observation stats, high of 85, low of 60. We had a low of 62 and a high of 85 here today. So a little bit nicer over there in the station area. Although you all hit, what did you hit? 85. Okay. Well, we matched the high, but the low was a lot lower. And so appreciate the goodness of the Lord today and all the things that he has allowed. And we appreciate the fact that he's in charge. Let's take a look at the radar. And as we do that, we'll zoom in on some areas coming across the Georgia into the Western Mountains. We see a pretty good sail headed towards Franklin. So that'll be coming in a short amount of time. Brevard seeing some spotty rain throughout Rosman and Brevard into the DuPont State Park there. But the heavy rains that are in our immediate listening area are going to be right to the west of Fletcher. And it's so covered up that I'm trying to read through it, and I can take it down. I just always forget to do that. And let's see, layers here. See if I can bring this down a little bit. And I can see this a whole lot better. There we go. Move this way down. Yeah, that makes it a lot easier to read. Okay, now let's take a look at this. And I may be able to see things a little bit better. Fruitland is in that area, Chimney Rock Road, all the way out into Edneyville. And it stretches further north up into Maxwell Mill there, and it keeps on going all the way through Edneyville. As you're headed down towards Lake Lure, it becomes rain, and you get to the Bat Cave area there, Highway 9. It's a lot better. And then north of Fruitland, a lot of heavy rain through there in the mountains states there, and then we'll go down into Hendersonville. Let's see if we can get some specific roads. Clear Creek Road, under the gun, really some heavy rain there. Again, Chimney Rock Road, which is 64, just past the Walmarts where it starts getting heavy when you pass Fruitland Road. When you get up towards where the Walmart is, we're seeing it lighter rain, but still pretty good amounts. And some of it is reaching over into I-26, paralleling Clear Creek Road there. And then we have lighter rain for the rest of that area. Let's go in down in here. This is another area that's kind of heavy. That's going to be Stony Mountain Road, Haywood Road, and to the west of there, Park Lane, and back, all the way down into 64, headed out of Brightwater area there, headed towards Horseshoe. Then it becomes mostly rain and not the heavy, heavy stuff. And we have mostly rain all the way through Mills River, some moderate rain all the way down to 80, almost to, pretty much into Pisgah Forest, where we're seeing some light rain there as well. In Asheville, we're seeing quite a bit of rain. It's all through I-26, I-40, 240 in the downtown core and coming out, and then some heavy cells to the northwest of there, really, really heavy around Sandy Mush, that is creating some, let me see if it got better. Let me refresh this. I looked at this 5 minutes ago, and actually it did get better, but it's still pretty impacted. At one point, I-26 was nowhere to be found from Buncombe to Henderson County. Let's start down in Henderson County because it got the best. And the westbound lanes to Asheville and Henderson County are clear now. It's when you pass the Fletcher exit before the Highway 64 exit. In between there, you're going to slow down to about 30 miles an hour. Now, let's head towards Asheville on 26 West. And just before you get to the airport exit, it is going to really slow down through there for a little bit through a crawl, and the rest of it's going to be about 30 mile an hour, and it's going to be that way all the way almost to Brevard Road. Coming back the other way, Malfunction Junction, coming off onto 26 from 40 or 240 is pretty backed up. It was at a standstill about 5 minutes ago, so at least it's moving, and it stays that way till you cross the French Broad River, but it picks up speed. And then it slows down again just before the airport. 191 from Avery's Creek, both directions towards the Asheville Outlet Malls. That is right near the North Carolina Arboretum where you go under the Blue Ridge Parkway. That's where that stoppage and real significant slowdown stops as you're headed towards the Asheville Outlet Malls there. Mills River, unlike yesterday, 191 in Haywood Road, 280 Boylston Highway, they're looking good. Some slowdowns in the Brevard, mostly along South Broad Street, just south of 276, which is the Greenville Highway. So we don't see too many issues there. Sapphire, you've got on 64, a pretty decent backup. It's in both directions, but the one that I see where it's kind of down to maybe 10 mile an hour or less is going to be in the eastbound lane. And it's going to be near the preserve at Rock Creek, right at that area there. I believe that road is West Whitetail Drive. So that's got some issues there this afternoon. Let's come back and see what else we got here that maybe I missed. A while ago, Sweeten Creek was really messed up, but it has gotten a lot better. It's still got some slowdowns, but not that bad. Same with 25, mostly as you're headed towards Biltmore Forest. So that's good news. Here's some good news. Very little problems in the gorge. There's the Fines Creek area has a little bit of a slowdown, but not much. And that's the only little spot that I see. 40 looks good headed towards Old Fort as well, going down the mountain that way. And 26, once you get into Polk County, don't see any issues there. There was around 4 o'clock, Greenville was a parking lot on 85. and it's still not great. Southbound, it's going to start when you are coming southbound. When you pass Brockham McClyman Road exit, get prepared to slow way down. And then as you get closer to State Road 14, you're going to come to just crawling traffic. In fact, I'll bet you I can get a camera view of that, and I'll be able to tell you if that is at a stop or not. I didn't bring that up and didn't think about it. I use it in the morning all the time, and it is this is showing that it's a car crash, okay? Wasn't showing that on the other map I was on, but this says it's a car crash right at 56 and a half, and between mile marker 56 and 57, and so it's causing problems. Now, State Road 14 is the airport exit, and that is causing problems all the way down almost to Batesville Road in the southbound lane. So that is the big issue right now when it comes to Greenville County. And then we have a slowdown from Pelham Road, both directions, north and southbound, as you're coming down almost to the 385 loop there that is pretty messed up. Let's go into north of Brockman McClyman Road into Spartanburg County. It slows down in the northbound lane just past Brockman McClyman Road and stays that way all the way to 290. So that is a pretty good clip there. And keep that in mind. Then we go a little further up and it slows down again past State Road 42. And then things get a whole lot better. So that's good news there. And so, yeah, traffic's a little bit messed up today, and we'll hope it'll clear up here shortly. The weather, I'm sure, has something to do with it. The construction, and then in Greenville, it's the accident. So there is the information that we have for today. Let's take a look at the weather forecast. Tonight, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then scattered showers and thunderstorms after 8 p.m. Patchy fog after 1 a.m. We did have some fog issues this morning, especially in the Asheville area and to the west. It's down to a half a mile visibility this morning, so it looks like we may have some of that again. They're talking about a low around 64 with calm wind. That'll let the fog happen. The chance of precipitation is 60%. And then on Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 3 p.m., and we're looking at otherwise partly sunny, high near 82. And then we're looking at Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely before 3 a.m. That's strange. Usually they die out in the nighttime, but they're saying before 3 a.m. could be possibility. And then a chance of showers Friday before noon. And so then it just kind of cut and paste 30%, 30% Saturday night. And 40% Sunday, 30% Sunday night, and then it's showers and thunderstorms, likely. So there you go. That's pretty much what we've been seeing all along. All right. Well, today was the day that we were anticipating, and it was the governor's briefing on the coronavirus and where we're at. Nothing surprised me. It went just exactly the way I thought it would go. Dr. Cohen gave the charts and things, and she said that the percent of positive tests is hovering between 7 and 8%. They look at the trajectory of COVID-like symptoms when they come in the hospital. Those that actually have it, the positive test as a percentage of total and hospitalizations. They look at those together. Well, when they do that, she would give it a red X or a green check or a flat yellow line. Well, all of them the last time and all of them this time were flat yellow lines, meaning it's leveling, but at a high number. And so looking around at other states that opened up quicker and have their cases shooting through the roof and have overwhelmed the system, they have said that they are going to extend the same phase two pause for 5 weeks, not 3 weeks. Now, when he said that, I wondered why. Well, a reporter later on asked the question, why 5 weeks? And that comes from the Department of Health and Human Services. And this is what they're saying, and what the statistics are bearing out, that they want to, because schools are phasing in opening, in other words, some are going to open, some of them are going to open next week, some the following week, some the following week. They want a running total of what the school is going to do. Governor Cooper said that that is the new thing that will reopen, is the schools. And so when you reopen the schools, there's going to be more people moving about and moving around, which spreads the virus. And so because of the school openings and the stabilizing but still high numbers was the reason for the 5 weeks. They want to see that number go down. They don't want to see it go up. And he was asked, would he go backwards? And he did not say yes or no. What he said was, I sure don't want to do that. That's why we're taking this cautious approach. We do not want to go backwards. We don't want to go that route. So he is always looking at the numbers, not only in the state, but around, to see what is happening. Now, they showed a map, and I couldn't find the map. I wanted to have it, so I went and pulled up the news conference and froze it on this map they showed. And I don't know what the date of this map is, because it does not have it, how current it is, but they used it today in the press conference. And what it does is it takes the 100 counties and turns them blue or yellow. And I tried to count it, you know, when counties are really close together, I may have missed up one. By my count, there were 48 on plan B, and that would leave 52 on plan C. And I could have messed up here too. So it's almost half and half. It's just real close to half and half. And the counties, all the mountain counties in the far west till you get to Jackson are on plan B. And then Jackson, and this is just what this map shows. Things change constantly. Buncombe and Henderson are showing us plan C, which they are, but there's a date they're going to reassess. But as of right now, Polk County is showing plan B. Madison County is showing plan B. And the northern mountains are all showing plan B. I believe that is Rutherford County. So that is plan C. A lot of the top-tiered counties, the majority of them from the Virginia line down, are on plan C, with about three or four exceptions. The school systems are just kind of half and half. So plan B is a hybrid model, which means that it's a mixture of in school. And I said at prayer time today, or at swap shop time today, that Greenville County Schools said that if they made the decision today what the schools would do, they would only come to school one day a week, and the rest would be at home learning. But they're going to let parents know on Monday how the school is going to open. Then they said, as they watch the numbers, they may make changes, and they will give parents 5 days' notice of the change. That's not a lot of time, but that's how things are moving along. in this right now. So the okay, the person that texted the pictures in a still mode, no movement of the preacher. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you're getting audio only. And that's due to the fact that I'm not in the studio and I'm in a remote location. So if you're watching on Facebook Live, that is why that is. You're just seeing a picture and hearing audio. So if you're not on Facebook Live, then it wouldn't be. Yeah, it wouldn't be visible anyhow. So that's got to be where you're at. But that's the reason. And by the way, I'm at the beginning of the time, the text line 828-577-1296. Yesterday, I didn't get the text messages till after the fact. Today, it seems like it's working again. That's good news. They are looking to see at the end of 5 weeks if things spread, if there was a viral spread due to people moving around more. Someone asked the question, and the reporters, Mark, do you think there's any possibility that you would ever go to a phase three before there's a vaccine? And he said, yes, if the numbers and everything bore out, that he would do that before a vaccine. And there's, of course, a lot of trials and testings going on with different drugs right now for a vaccine. And so we're waiting on that. It's moving faster than what it would normally do, but it's still a process. And there's some saying by the end of the year. Well, you're still talking August, September, October, November. If you get towards the end of the year, you're talking 4 to 5 months. So that's still a lot of time for more transmissions and things. But there wasn't a whole lot different other than 5 weeks. And I meant to. It's been one of those busy days. Let me just jump in here, get my calendar out. And let's go to Friday, August the 7th. And let's come forward. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would put it on September the 11th of all days. September the 11th is when that would be, those 5 weeks would be up, and they will have some kind of indication because of lag time of things. They do that. So then they also said that the other issue with schools reopening was that the higher education, the colleges, bring in students from everywhere, not just the local area, but from across the state, across the United States, and in some cases even, and I don't know how much restrictions they're putting on travel to the United States and other countries, or how much we will have, but those are things that we are looking at. So we'll just have to wait and see as schools open up. Of course, we're praying for our schools. They have a lot. The plan C is a hard plan, but it's once you get it, you got it. And they had the summer to get that ready. But the plan B is a mixture. So when you say, in fact, I did a story this afternoon on Brevard Academy saying that they've already sent out what kids will, did it in a letter, what kids will go when. But, you know, the logistics of a large school that has to take the student body and try to figure out which students come which days. And if you have a 1 day a week, then you got 4 days and everybody's virtual on Friday or Wednesday or whatever they do. You divide them out where the whole student body is divided by four. And then you got the transportation that How does that swell and decline based on what you chose? And the think of the nightmare of a logistics of somebody sitting down with the bus driver and say, where is your routes for all of these students? Okay, now, you know, that's a lot of work, even in a computer age. It's a lot of logistics. So there are a lot of things that they've been working on. And like I said, I think it was a 32-page professionally done document on guidance of what's recommended and what's required in order for people to be able to have the schools open like that. So, wow. Yeah. The other thing is the numbers. The numbers, she said, and they're showing me some numbers as of today, but the number that is not showing up as of today are hospitalizations. And she said something about they found in their quality control some errors in reporting. So I don't know what the hospital count is today, but it was at 1167 yesterday. We're looking at lab confirmed cases at 1,127, and it dropped from 1,629, but it's still in the over 1,000 range. We're looking at, let me just see here. I found a place where I could do this, and I think that's it. Let me see if that's what I wanted. Yes, the percent of positive test for today compared to the total test was 9%. And we were at 8, and I think a couple of days we're at 7, but now we're back up to 9. So it has gone up a little bit. And she said we're hovering between 8% and 9%. So, but we're still good with hospitalizations, which is as far as beds and things go, and that's good news. And that is the big thing that's driven this whole thing throughout the whole time. The shutdown and everything was to not overwhelm hospitals to where there's just not enough room for everybody and somebody is left out. So that's kind of what drove that. And there are states that have had to, because of hospitalizations getting to the saturation point, actually go backwards. So that's the latest information. Hopefully they'll get that glitch fixed and we'll be able to fix that. I would love to have that school map, but I just don't know that I'm going to find it anywhere. But anyhow, there you go. All right, let's switch gears here. And this was an interesting article. And this is done by the Pew Research. Okay, and so they did a research on this, and this is what the title says. This is the head of it. It got my attention. Americans who mainly get their news on social media are less engaged and less knowledgeable. Those who rely on social media for news are less likely to get the facts right and the things that they hear. And I can say that I don't get on it much anymore because I just don't like the hate that comes across it. I try to read some of my good friends and all that I know. But, you know, there was a thing that went around several years ago, and it was had to do with the Constitution. And they cited an amendment, and I just was shocked at how many people shared that I knew when I was down in Florida, because it was in Florida when it happened. And it was about an amendment number that doesn't exist. We didn't have that many amendments. So it was bogus right from the start. And what it said isn't anywhere in the Constitution. And the neat thing about our Constitution is it's not that long. Compared to others, it's not that long. In fact, the Founding Fathers had a reasoning for that. they said it don't matter how many laws you write or how many pages it is. Good men will keep the women will keep the law, and bad will find a way around it. And that's the way it's been in history. And they knew that. But they ask people where they get most of their news. And they came from the biggest one was 25% a website or an app. 18% was social media. 16% was cable TV. 16% was local TV. And 13% was network TV. And then 8% was radio, and 1% was print media. So how about that? So that I found that to be very interesting. And, you know, the old adage that if it's on the internet, it has to be true, is probably one of the most untrue statements that's ever been made. And people tend, and don't get mad at me, just listen to my reasoning here. People tend to listen to somebody because of their persuasion and not listen to somebody because of their persuasion. And I want to hear, I don't want to say this person, because of this persuasion, they said they believe this, because it's not always true. And so when there's a something that's coming and I want to know where someone stands, this is where I get irritated in politics. All I want you to do is stand straight up, look me in the eye and say, on this issue, I believe this. On this issue, I believe this. And I try to listen to what the person's saying. I may not like their politics. I may not like their philosophy. I may not like a lot of their decisions, but that doesn't mean that every decision they make is a bad one. And so I try to read and listen and get facts. In fact, one of the greatest things that I ever learned, and I learned it from the department head of the history department years ago, he was teaching at the teachers convention, and I took his workshop, and it was called Distortions in History. And he gave us some things to look for when you are looking at history. He said, number one, the first thing you want to find is anything that was spoken or written by the original person you're studying. So when you look at George Washington's writings and his speeches and things that he gave that were recorded for us, that his mouth, this is his words, he wrote this down, then you know what the person said. That's what they said. Now you can look and say, okay. Secondly, they say all history that's written after the person is dead and gone and they didn't know him, have to go back to history books during the time period. They have to find things in the time period. So skip and go back and find all the sources on the person that you are trying to get information on. And this is what he said. You'll have no trouble with the first two. You may have trouble with the third one. Number one, find people that like the man or the woman. Find people that liked him. And read. Get all the information. Find people that didn't like the person and put it all down. And you will find that in their opinions of the person, there will be things that will match. He said, we call them kernels of truth. And he said, and if it's possible, try to find someone that really didn't care about the person one way or the other. That's just kind of neutral. And if you find those three, then you found a third one to look at. But there's always the kernel of truth that comes out, because there were things that were said about King James way down the line that when you go back, not one historian. Not one record substantiates any of it. So I've always tried to do that, is to never speak because I think I know the person. I want to know what they said. I wrote down notes today, and I put down Governor Cooper said this, Dr. Cohen said this, and I heard it with my own ears, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget what it was I wanted to remember. So that is a way to look at it. Otherwise, you get skewed truth. So that distortions in history was a real eye-opener for me and a real help in trying to get to the kernel truth. And by the way, I think I gave it away. I gave such a ton of books away before we moved back because of the fact that out of all the boxes we boxing my library is the majority of the boxes. With all I gave away, it was still the majority of the boxes. But I had a book of the speeches of the founding fathers that I think I might have given to a Christian school. And there's just some wonderful speeches that clearly delineate that they love God and love the Lord. One of the things that they definitely were unique on is they believed in the sovereignty of God. So they believed that, you know, nothing could happen without him. And it was Benjamin Franklin who actually saved the Second Continental Congress when they just reached wit's end and said, if a sparrow can't fall from the ground without our Heavenly Father knowing about it, can a country rise up and him not know about it? And that's when he implored that there be prayer before each session to call on the God of heaven. And they said that's what saved that constitutional deal there. So, you know, think about that. That's powerful when you look at that. That's very, very powerful. But that was interesting to me about where people get their news. And certainly they get their news from a lot of sources. But again, and by the way, those of us that are older, do you remember how it used to be? It was just reporting the facts. Anyone remember the old show Dragnet? What was the big line that came out all the time? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. And they just, whether they liked the person or not, they told what happened. And then there would be someone who would come on and say, this is an editorial. This is my take on it. And so we've lost all that from way back then when we reported facts. And I used to yell at the TV reporters and say, I don't need you to tell me what he just said. I listened to him. I know what he just said. I don't need you to explain it to me. I have ears. I heard it. But anyhow, well, we're getting close to time to go, and I was going to cover a couple things, but I'll do that tomorrow, Lord willing. There was some interesting things that are going on, and one of them was a explosion in Beirut, Lebanon, that they thought immediately was going to be something that happened with terrorism or that Israel had done. Now they're not so sure, but it sent up a mushroom cloud. Scott, we'll talk about that. And there's some other things going on there. California's got a massive 20,000-acre raging fire, and only 5% contained. That is incredible. And I wanted to talk about this also over the weekend. Some things in Chicago with shootings that just prove that you can't have lawlessness. You got to have law. But we'll take a look at that. I want to remind you to continue to pray for Pastor Barton and his recovery. Again, pray for Miss Joanna as she goes in for surgery tomorrow. And also pray that she can get in and not have to be delayed so that when she's out, she can get a room quick enough that her husband Jacob can go back before visiting hours are over. That's just a specific prayer request from Miss Christie. that that would just, you know, otherwise you got to wait till the next day. And so you pray that that'll go that way. And I know they'd appreciate it. There's a lot of prayer requests we did on Swap Shop Time, and I don't have, I don't have them all in front of me, but there was someone that said that one of their cousins was found with cancer, and they had eaten through part of the small intestine. They were able to reconnect it, but the cancer has already attached to the abdominal wall, so now they're going to be looking for possible treatments. So please pray for that. I know there was the woman who needs her numbers to come up, and some of the deaths that we talked about, including the pastor and his wife that went 3 days apart. So please remember all these folks in prayer, and I know they would appreciate it. Father, we thank you so much for your blessedness and your wonderfulness to us and how you take care of us and how, Lord, you've made so many promises that you've kept. And so the promises that are coming, we know that you're going to keep, and we look forward to the one that says you're coming again. We pray for these requests, minister in hearts, lives, bodies, souls, spirits. And Lord, make yourself known. Put your loving arms of love around people and encourage them in the very things of God so that they will be able to enjoy all the good things of God. And we will thank you for all that you do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton filling in for Pastor Barton, praying that you have an absolutely wonderful, awesome evening.